Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to thank listeners who have been supporting the program by going to JohnnyDollarAir.com. JohnnyDollarAir.com is a Priceline affiliate, so you can enjoy the benefits of being able to either choose from some great published fares on hotels, rental cars, and airline tickets, or being able to name your own price. Plus, if you find a good deal there and you purchase it, part of the purchase price goes to support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio at no additional cost to you. So when you're making your travel plans, just remember to try JohnnyDollarAir.com first. Now it's time for part 3 and part 4 of the Kalen Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
This is Reynosa, L.A. Police.
Oh, hiya, Sergeant. Any luck?
Nothing. This Topo Leanley boy's been in jams before. He's a tough cookie, and we don't scare him a bit.
What's his story?
Says he was walking through the courtyard of the apartment house when you jumped him from the bushes. Claims he thought it was a stick-up and fired that shot at you in self-defense.
What was he doing there in the first place?
Calling on a girlfriend, only she'd given him the wrong address.
Sure.
Well, we can hold him overnight for carrying a concealed weapon, but that's about all, Johnny. He'll make bail in the morning.
Well, fine. Let him. Things aren't adding up, and it's got him worried. He's afraid he's being double-crossed, and he's fighting mad about it. On the loose, maybe he'll be a help to us.
How?
Maybe he can find Eddie Kalen.
What are you talking about? Eddie Kalen's downtown in the morgue on a marble slab.
Sergeant, want to bet?
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Los Angeles, to the home office, Trinity Mutual Insurance Company Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Kalen Matter. Expense account continued. I was following a hunch, one that had started when Sergeant Reynosa said the police found the door of the Kalen apartment locked on the night of Eddie's death, locked with a key. And now the hunch was stronger. The way Leanley had acted, Topo Leanley, the gambler from whom Eddie had won $60,000 that night. Things like Lila Kalen had said about her husband, they all added up. But it was still only a hunch, not proof. And proof I had to have. And at the moment, the only chance I could see of getting it was to backtrack on Eddie Kalen. His hangouts, his contacts, his missing friend Pete Steimer, his movements during the hours before his car was found blazing at the bottom of a canyon in Palos Verdes. In a way, what I had to do was bring him back to life. Expense account item 6, $14.10. Transportation 2 and incidentals at a dim little hole-in-the-wall bar out on Santa Monica Boulevard called the Café Eloines. It was an out-of-the-way clip joint dedicated to the mood Caribbean, complete with palm fronds, drinks and coconut shells, and a lovely little hostess with a beautifully developed and well-rounded Latin accent.
You would like a nice table, amigo?
Oh, this one's fine. But I would like a nice talk. Sit down, honey. Let's get acquainted.
Well, maybe for a few minutes. My name is Pepita.
Of course. What else? I'm Johnny Dollar.
That's a funny name.
Oh, I'm a funny guy.
Will you buy me a drink?
Is that the gimmick here?
Gimmick?
Well, what do you order, a champagne cocktail?
Si.
For which I pay $2. It's made with 10 cents worth of salt turn. You get a $1 kickback. Isn't that the way it's played?
Are you with the vice squad?
No, forget it. Relax. Hey, look. I'll do better than buy you a drink. What are you doing after you're through here?
No. No, Dick. When I quit work here, I go straight home, amigo. And I live with my mother.
Oh, well, that's a very good arrangement. Cheaper that way for both of you. But here's $10. What I want from you is some information. About a customer who comes in here a lot, or used to anyway. Eddie Kalin. You know him?
You are not the police, or you would not give me $10 just for talking. Sure, I know Eddie. What you want to know about him?
When did you see him last?
On Thursday, the day before he was killed.
How did he act? What did he say? Anything out of the ordinary?
He said he loved me madly, passionately, devotionally. And if I do not love him too, he will kill himself. Just like ordinary. He was lying, of course. But he always was such exciting to listen. Then he buy me champagne cocktail and borrow from me the money to pay for it.
Quite a boy.
Que hombre. He was, how you say, he was the most.
Yeah. How long was he in here that night?
Quien sabe. 1 hour, perhaps.
By himself?
No. With his amigo, with Pete.
Pete Steimer, huh?
Si.
Have you seen Pete since then?
No. I do not think nobody has seen him.
What do you think's happened to him?
Who knows? Maybe he is too sad for Eddie dying. So he is hide out someplace, or by himself.
Well, it's a theory. Did Eddie seem worried that night?
No.
Scared?
No, not scared.
Nothing special on his mind, apparently.
No, just like always. Just like Eddie. You know.
No, I never met him.
Oh? Then why you ask this question?
Oh, just a routine business matter. What about women?
Women?
Yeah, other girlfriends of Eddie's. Next to you, of course.
Oh, next to me. With Eddie, every girl was first.
What about the nightclub here? Any of them come in here, work here?
Oh, Eddie was too smart for that. In each one place, only one girl. That way, no trouble. Eddie was smart.
Yeah, he was the most. What about girls in other places around town? Do you know any of them?
No, I do not know any, but...
But you've heard rumors.
Well, there is a place which is called the Brass Monkey.
Ah, yeah.
They have girls there which, how you say it, they take off some clothes and go jump around with the music.
Strippers?
Well, strippers. Well, somebody is always make jokes with me about one of those strippers. They say Eddie is half the big thing with her. They think to make me mad, but it's no difference to me. I know how Eddie is.
Do you know the girl's name?
The very silly name, which she has make up. It's Marty Midnight.
Marty Midnight.
She has black hair like me, but mine is natural black.
Oh, yeah, sure, I figured as much. It's very beautiful.
Just gracias, Johnny.
Well, thanks for some pleasant conversation.
You are leaving now?
Yeah, why?
But maybe you will come back, no?
I wasn't planning to.
At 1 o'clock, I am through working. If you will come back... No?
No. We wouldn't want to worry your poor old mother, would we? Keep her waiting up.
What are you talking about? My mother is living in Havana, Cuba.
Expense account item 7, $23.40. More transportation and some more of those incidentals. This time at the Reyes Monkey Inn. That name had come up twice now. Eddie Kalin's widow had mentioned it first. So I figured I'd better have a look at it. The Eloines had been a fairly quiet place, dimly lighted with a big play on that Mystery of the Jungle routine. But the Brass Monkey was a pony of a different tint. At the Brass Monkey, they let down their hair and really lived. The chorus line was on and at it when I arrived, and strangely enough, the girls were all dolls, pert, young, lively, seven of them from left to right. But not one of the seven had midnight black hair. I leaned against the service bar and waited for the bartender to come down out of the clouds and notice me. And he finally did.
Oh, sorry, Buster. Just couldn't see you for looking at you.
Oh, that's all right. Who'd bother with a customer at a time like this?
Another art lover. Man, I'll tell you true, there is the cream of the crop. Seven shining sisters. The Pleiades, brother. The absolute up-top zenith of the entire ecclesiastic firmament. Well, you'll have to drink.
Scotch over ice.
Checo. I read a lot. That's where I get all them big words. Always try to better myself. Get ahead, man, that's the thing.
Yes, so I've heard.
So I read all the time. And I got a system, too, a shortcut. You know all them books you see around? You know what they're full of?
Well, opinions vary.
Words. And you know where they get them? From the dictionary. So I don't mess around. I go right to headquarters. The only book I read is the dictionary.
You what?
Sure. Read it through twice. And now I'm clear up to J on the third time around. You know what a Joss House is?
Yeah, it's a Chinese temple. I think I need that drink now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Buster. Here you are. Say, you're pretty smart yourself.
Oh, I'm a pedant.
Pedant? That's with a P. Nah, I won't get to that for another 3 months. That's a buck even for the drink.
Here you go. Keep the change.
Well, thanks. Hey, this is a 20 you give me.
Yeah, I know.
I see. Well, Buster, the answer is no. I can't fix you up with one of the girls.
All I want is some information.
Like what?
Like where is Marty Midnight this evening?
Oh, that I wouldn't know. She hasn't been around since, not for the last 4 or 5 nights.
Since Eddie Kalin was murdered? Is that what you're about to say?
Police?
Insurance investigator. The company I represent issued a policy on him.
Eddie Kalin with insurance?
Yeah, he took it out about 2 months ago.
Who's the beneficiary?
His wife.
Well, I never met the gal, but I guess she's got something coming. She must have took quite a beating off of Eddie. Man, oh man, that cat could really operate.
So I gather. You happen to know where Marty lives?
Nah, she moved a few weeks ago, after she took up with Eddie. I don't even know her real name.
Hey, is the manager here?
I'm the manager, Buster. I hired him, fired him, and in between, just look at him. Oh, man, what a life.
Do you know a friend of Eddie's named Pete Steimer?
Sure I know. He hasn't been around either.
Disappeared that same night, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad night all around. There was another guy dropped out of sight, too. A hood named Mike Kelso. One of Topo Leanley's boys.
Do you know Topo?
He comes in all the time. Hey, wait a minute. You must be the cat that broke his arm. Well, congratulations, felicitations, and happy days. I'll have a drink myself on that.
Real popular boy.
Huh? Oh, the most. I understand he got his start by leaning out of his baby carriage and shoving his mother under a car.
Was he in here that night?
Well, sure. That's where Eddie met him. I told Eddie to stay clear of that game. Was I right?
And you think that's why he was killed, for the $60,000 he won that night?
Buster, that's the type of question I never answer. And that's exactly why I stay so healthy.
Well, you don't have to answer. That's where all the logic points. Eddie met Tom Bolini in here that night and was invited into one of Leanley's big-time poker games. Eddie was lucky, plenty lucky, and Leanley got hit hard. He decided he wouldn't stand still for it, so he and his muscle man, Mike Kelso, went around to Eddie's apartment, beat him up, got the $60,000, took Eddie out to the Palos Verdes Hills, ran him off the cliff, and set fire to his car.
Any reason why it couldn't have happened like that?
No. But there are a lot of loose ends. Like what has happened to Pete Steimer and Marty Midnight?
Scared silly, hiding out.
Mike Kelso.
Same thing, he's sweating it out, waiting to see which way the wind blows. Or there's whispers around that he double-crossed Topo and ran out with the dough.
Could be. But I keep remembering that door.
What door?
To Eddie's apartment. It was left locked with a key.
So what's it got to do with everything? Uh-oh, the police. I'm raided again. Hey, Red, dump that water, bar, whiskey down a sink. Jackie, get back there and tell the girls to cover up. Now, take it easy, you cats. Just keep your seats. Everything is copacetic.
Relax. It's not a raid. That's Sergeant Reynosa. He's handling the Kalin case.
Buster, a cop's a cop no matter what he's handling. Now, shake it up, Red. Turn on that water in the sink and dump it all in.
What the devil are you doing here, Johnny?
Having a drink? What's up, Sergeant?
I'm looking for a girl who's supposed to work here, named Marty Midnight.
So am I. What's your reason?
Suspicion of murder.
What?
The guy was killed in her apartment about an hour ago. The neighbors heard the shots. And it's real crazy, Johnny. It just can't be, but it is. We got a fast check on the fingerprints. You know who the guy was?
Sure. It was Eddie Kalin.
Johnny
Dollar.
Johnny? Well, that's strange.
Is this Mrs. Kalin, Lila?
Yes, someone from the police department asked me to call Sergeant Reynosa at this number, but I didn't...
Yeah, Reynosa was trying to reach you, but your phone didn't answer.
Well, I was just letting it ring. I was trying to get some sleep. But then the officer came by. Where are you, Johnny? What's happened?
We're at the apartment of a girl named Marty Midnight. Ever hear of her?
No, why?
Lila, you better brace yourself, honey. You've got another shock coming.
Shock? What do you mean?
Your husband didn't die in that burning auto.
Eddie's alive?
No, not now. He was shot to death an hour and a half ago here in Marty's apartment.
Who did it?
I don't know yet. Hang on to yourself, and I'll come by and see you as soon as I'm free here.
Will you, Johnny, please?
Promise. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Los Angeles, to the home office, Trinity Mutual Insurance Company Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Kalin matter. Expense account continued. The homicide squad was finishing up its work when Sergeant Reynosa and I got back out to the apartment of Marty Midnight, star stripper of the Brass Monkey Inn. Eddie Kalin's body had been photographed, checked, measured, fingerprinted, examined, sketched, written up, and reported on. Taken out finally under a white sheet. I held the door open for the morgue attendants to get out with their silent burden and stood watching them wheel a stretcher down the walk and load it into the waiting ambulance. A light mist had started to fall, and a damp, cold blanket of fog was seeping down from the dark hillsides of Griffith Park beyond the road. There was a feeling of finality in the air, of the end of things. And for the man who died twice, it was final. Yeah, there was no doubt about it this time. Eddie Kalin was dead.
I am tired, Johnny. Just plain dead dog tired.
Yeah, it's getting to be a long night.
Sit down and start talking.
Any particular subject, Sergeant?
You know what subject. You weren't surprised when you heard Eddie Kalin had been alive all this time that it wasn't his body in the wrecked car out in Palos Verdes. How come, Johnny? Why weren't you surprised?
Because I was expecting it. Why else?
No, you gotta do more talking than that.
Well, it started with a hunch. And the hunch started when you told me you found the door of Eddie Kalin's apartment locked. When you went there that night, he was supposed to have died.
Yeah, I know. Locked with a key. You mentioned that, but...
Well, that was the important part. If it had been a door with a night lock or a spring latch that snaps when you pull it shut, it wouldn't have been anything.
It still doesn't, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, look. There was evidence there'd been a fight in that apartment that night. We assumed that somebody had knocked Eddie unconscious or killed him there in the apartment, then taken his body out to his car, driven it out to the Palos Verdes headland, and set fire to it.
That's right.
Then at the time that somebody left the apartment, the heat was on.
Mm-hmm.
They had a body on their hands. Maybe someone had heard the fight, called the police. They had to get out fast.
Yeah, sure, but...
Under those circumstances, can you imagine anybody taking the time to go through Eddie's pockets to find his door key and bothering to stop and lock the door behind them? That's illogical. Except for one person, Eddie himself.
How do you figure?
With him, it would be just a matter of habit, locking the door as usual when he left home.
All right, Johnny, I see your point. Then how do you call the play that night?
About the way we were tagging it, up to a point. Eddie won $60,000 in that poker game with Topo Leanley. He went home, either alone or with that friend of his, Pete Steimer.
So?
So Topo had no intention of taking that kind of a loss. So he sent his trigger man, Mike Kelso, to recover the money. The fight was between Eddie and Mike. Only Mike was the one who lost, not Eddie.
Then you figure Eddie put Mike Kelso's body in his car and drove it out to Palos Verdes and set fire to it.
Sure. With Pete Steimer's help, probably.
Well, it's possible. Body was practically destroyed. All we had for identification was the wallet, watch, keychain, and so on. They could have been planted.
I think they were. It was a sudden idea, spur of the moment. But Eddie was ripe for it. There he was, with $60,000 in his pocket, but a dead man on his hands. And as far as his wife was concerned, I think the chance of shaking her and not sharing the money was just an added inducement. So he and Pete arranged for the body to be identified as his, and Eddie just disappeared.
And holed up here in his girlfriend's apartment.
Why not? He and Pete both. Apparently the three of them were planning to jump the country, judging by that forged birth certificate you found in there on the breakfast table.
Only it didn't work out that way. Well, Eddie's dead. Really dead now. Pete and Marty have disappeared again, and the 60 grand is missing.
Find them, and you find the money.
Johnny, it sounds like the same old story. Big money, big temptation, and a falling out among friends.
That's the most likely.
Of course, there is one other possibility.
What's that?
Topo Leanley.
Was he out?
Yeah.
How come?
It was a rough combination, Johnny. Good lawyer on his side and a poor case on ours. He was sprung 2 hours before the neighbors reported the shooting here, the anonymous neighbor.
Well, it could be, then. But I'm still betting it was Pete Stimer or Marty Midnight.
I'm not betting anything anymore. The way things stand now, it's anybody's guess. His own gun, no prints on it. You pays your nickel and you takes your choice.
Well, at least the field narrows down. It seems like we got a visitor.
Probably one of the uniform boys on duty outside. Yes?
The policeman outside say for me to come to you. I am Jeannette Dubois.
Oh? Well, what can I do for you?
I am the person who reports the shooting on the telephone.
Come on in.
Merci, monsieur.
How come you refuse to give your name when you phone the police?
You are Captain?
Sergeant Reynosa. This is Johnny Dollar, Miss Dubois.
Oh, he is also police?
He's working with us on this. Now, why wouldn't you give your name when you reported the shooting?
I am very sorry, monsieur. You see, I have not been in this country too long, and I am afraid that I will be implicated. So I do not give the name at first. But finally, I think it over, and I call my friend the consul, and he say I must come to you immediately.
And he's right. So you heard the shooting, huh?
Oui, monsieur. I was walking past in front. I live 3 places down from here. All of a sudden, there is bang, 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 and I am scared to pieces.
I can imagine.
Then the door of this place is slammed open very quick, and I jump in the shadow behind a bush. A girl start to come out, and then she stop in the door.
What did she look like, Miss Dubois?
Well, it is too dark for telling good, but I have seen her before. I know from her hair, very long, black.
Marty Midnight.
Was that the one, the girl who lives here?
Oui, monsieur. I did not know her name.
All right, what happened then?
She stand in the door for a second. She is wearing a white raincoat. She is holding something in her hand. This thing she wipes with the raincoat all over. Then she throws it back into the room.
Was it a gun?
I think so. Then she pulls the door shut and runs down the street. I am too scared to think what to do for a minute. Then I hurry home very fast and I telephone to the police.
You didn't see anybody else around the place or in the street out in front?
No, Monsieur Dollar. I watch from my window until the police have come. Nobody else has come out or go in.
I see. Well, Sergeant?
She won't get far. Girl with her looks draws too much attention. We'll pick her up before morning. Thank you for your information, Miss Dubois. In view of your cooperation now, I think we can forget about you not telling us all this sooner.
Does that mean I can go now?
Yes, just leave your name and address with the officer outside.
Oh, merci, monsieur. Au revoir.
That kind of surprises me. I could figure the two of them together ganging up on Eddie. But apparently it was just Marty Midnight, all on her own.
Been done before, Johnny. They're not the weaker sex, no matter what the book says.
I know. But the fact never fails to amaze me.
It shouldn't. You must have been on some of the same kind of cases. The devil!
Come on! The patrolman stationed at the back entrance of the apartment house told us what had happened. He'd surprised somebody, a man he thought, lurking in the bushes beside the house. The prowler fired a shot and ran. He paid no attention to the order to halt. The patrolman had fired twice, missed. The fugitive had escaped into the dense underbrush of Griffith Park just across the street. Sergeant Reynosa spotted men quickly along the edge of the brush, set up a portable spotlight from the squad car, sent his other car up an access road to block off the ridgeline, radioed for reinforcements. Within 5 minutes, a 15-acre area of the slope was surrounded and blocked off.
Well, what do you say, Johnny? Should we go in after him?
Looks like we'll have to. He seems to be the shy type.
Call it. Who do you think?
I'm putting my money on Top Olingley.
Good bet. Let's go. Keep that crowd back out of the way.
All right, get back, girl.
Couldn't be any darker in here.
Oh, wetter. Hey, shoot your flash over there toward the right. No, it's an old stump.
All right, we've got you surrounded. You better come out with your hands up. If you try to resist, you'll only make it tougher on yourself.
You hear something then?
No.
It was over to the left, I think. Let's take a look.
Watch yourself, Johnny. He's thrown lead once already.
Yeah. There. Back of that tree. Hold your flash steady. There.
I see. Come out with your hands up. It's your last chance. I'm warning you. Got no choice, Johnny.
He's down. Come on, Sergeant.
Well, What do you know?
It wasn't Topo Lehmy. It was Eddie Kalin's friend, Pete Stimer. Expense account item 9, $1 for a newspaper, 2 packs of cigarettes, and a cardboard carton of hot coffee purchased from an all-night diner across the street from the Queen of the Angels Hospital. I took them up to the police emergency ward, room 612, pulled a chair up in front of the window, and sat down to wait. Pete Stimer was still unconscious, still hadn't been able to speak a word since he dropped to the ground with Sergeant Reynosa's bullet in his chest. So I waited. Outside, the cold mist was still coming down steadily. The night was pretty far gone. It was less than 3 hours before dawn. A nurse sat silently beside the bed. The only sound in the room was the hoarse, slow breathing of the wounded man. After a while, the nurse left the room for something, and Pete seemed to rouse slightly at the sound of the door.
Where am I?
Take it easy, Pete. Don't try to talk.
Eddie. Is Eddie here?
No, he's not here.
He ought to be here. It's always been like this.
Relax now. It's all right.
Eddie always runs out and leaves somebody else to
easy now, easy.
Somebody else to face the music.
Pete. And those were his last words before he went to face the music.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a quarry run to earth, a strange alibi, and a shocking twist at the windup. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
I love that scene with, by the way, welcome back. I love that scene in the bar in part 3 when the lady gave the, answer that, she was with her mother and needed to get home until she got to know Johnny a little bit. But regardless, we've had, quite a few twists and turns, and, it's not over yet. I'll be looking forward to part 5 to get the truth of who's behind everything, because we still have a lot of questions left, so this will definitely be a great concluding episode. Stephen Dow, we turn to listener comments and feedback. Stephen Dow says, listen to old radio shows almost every night. Enjoy them a lot more than I do most of the garbage on TV. Glad to be able to help provide people with some quality entertainment. All right, well, that will finish us for today. We will be back tomorrow with a special episode of Escape, featuring that great Sherlock Holmes story, The Lost Special. And then join us back here on Friday as we wrap up the Kalen matter. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, Facebook.com/Radio Detectives.